All right, without further ado here, at this time I would like to introduce our first speaker, Wilford.
Hi group, I'm Wilford and I'm an addict. And I'm grateful to be here today. And I'm nervous. And it seems like everybody in here I know, but it's the size of this room. Speaking in this large room like this. The topic is the benefit of a home group, or the benefits of a home group. And I asked myself when I got the call on the phone, and I shared with people that this is what I'm speaking about. They said, that's a good topic for you. I said, why is it a good topic for me? You know? But I come to realize that I've been in a home group. I've had one home group or one particular home group the entire time that I've been in this fellowship. I was told to get a home group when I came in. I had asked a counselor earlier in my recovery what was the importance. Said I would go in there and I would learn to share and allow people the opportunity to get to know me. Found out that was one of the biggest problems that I had besides my active addiction. I had an inability to care and share and trust other people. When I visited my first group that I made my home group, I started letting people know me. I started sharing. I'm telling you, I'm nervous. You know, I started sharing. I started kicking it out in this, you know, kicking things out in the group. Sometimes we can have a problem saying, well, you know, I'm not going to let those people know my business. You know, but I didn't have a problem with that because my mom had told me a long time ago when I'd be on the phone making those little arrangements and she overhear the telephone call. And she'd be telling me, hey, you're going to hook up and do this or do that. And I would holler at her and tell her to stay out my business. She told me then, I ain't had no business. All I had was arrangements. Come on, laugh so I won't be so nervous. So I knew at that time that I didn't have no business, so therefore I didn't have any problem sharing. You know. And I started talking about what was going on with me, things that I wanted to accomplish in this fellowship. Most of all, how I felt about myself. You know, I'm an inadequate, and I'm an insecure, and I'm a fearful person. I spent years covering that up with arrogance and egotism, being a very egotistical person. You know, and that's like the flip side to all that. You know, I would go into meetings, and until I got to know people, I was sitting in the back. And after I got to know you, I'd go up front. I was told early on to say, why don't you go into meetings and sit up front? You never had any problem getting in front of the line when you went to buy your drugs, you know. Well, I never had any problems getting in front of the line when I bought my drugs because y'all folks knew what I was there for. I had to take that same thing and apply it to when I go to meetings. Now I go to meetings and I sit up front and I look at the people behind me because you all know what I'm here for. One thing, and that's to get that recovery. I remember my first meeting I made my home group. I walked in there, and they had guys that was already there. And a guy came up to me, and he hugged me, and he told me that he had been waiting on me to come in. And, you know, I thought this guy knew me from the street. You know, I brought my ego with me and my arrogance, and I thought I was a bad guy out there, and I thought he knew me from the street, you know. And he wrapped his arms around me and gave me a seat in the meeting. And after the meeting, he came over and he talked to me. And he wanted to, anytime I'd have a problem getting to the meeting, he'd stop by and pick me up. And at that time, with the person that I brought into the meeting at that time, I thought that he wanted something from me. You know, what I found out later on as I continued to go, that this was the unity of this program. This is the way that we took care of one another. See, when I was new and I was going to a meeting regularly, if you told me, say, where you been? I haven't seen you in a while, or I missed you at the last meeting. I was like, why are you all up in my business? I mean, I'm not going to use, you know. I mean, I didn't understand folks caring about me, caring about the fact that I may, it's not necessarily that I'm going to use, just the fact that they cared enough about me to ask about me, you know, and I wasn't used to that, you know. Like I said, I'm very insecure and fearful. The fearfulness comes from the fact that whatever I had, I'm afraid I might lose it, or then that what I don't have, I may not obtain it. You know, I found out that not only do I reap a lot of benefits from this program, that I have to sow some seeds in here also. You know, and that's where my benefits come from. You know, in the early days, they say things like, if you don't have a position, you come in, you empty ashtrays, you set up the chairs, you know, you put out the literature. And, you know, those little things seem like little small potatoes, because a lot of us want to come right in these rooms and be a chairperson, you know, or handle the money, you know. Even though we just got finished sharing that, well, I'm having a problem keeping my checkbook balanced. You know. And the funny thing about this is that we sit here and listen to them share this, and then we'll vote them in because of the way they look. Or the way they carried it out on the outside when they were in the street, you know. But I consider a home group, and I hold a home group responsible for my recovery. I hold the chairperson that I pick, that I vote, is responsible to bring in a good speaker that's going to help me with my recovery. I hold the secretary or the treasurer responsible that money goes to the area service and that the money doesn't get messed up, you know. And that's the part that I play in it, and I can share with other people and hope that they feel the same way about it. When people come out of treatment, or from whichever area that they come, it's important that they get a home group. If you think about this, if 10 people, 20 people come in this fellowship and make one particular group their home group, we wouldn't have so many groups falling apart. You know, if you took one group and decided that you're going to be responsible to this group, then we wouldn't have so many groups falling apart and dissolving, you know. But what we have a tendency to do, we like to follow the group, you know. We like to follow people from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting, and this group over here has fallen down because now all of a sudden, I don't know if you read it somewhere, or I know it's not in the literature, but this group over here is the most popular group, so now everybody's going to this group. And I don't know where that comes from, you know. But the most important thing about your sobriety is that you have a group and that you have responsible people in that group to help you recover. See, the group is really only as good as the people that's in it. You know, it's not, you don't come to a group and you sit around and you wait for other folks to come in and make it good. And that's part of the seeds that you sow. You have to be one of the beneficiaries of the group. You have to be one of the contributors of that group, you know. There's a story I heard when I came in, and I'm going to share this so I can loosen me up and loosen you all a little bit. But, and this is the whole essence of it. A chicken and a pig were walking down the street one day. And they're walking down this boulevard, you know, and there was lights all over the place, you know. And there was this big sign that said, ham and eggs, 24 hours, you know. So the chicken looked at the pig and looked at the sign, and the sign was flashing, you know. And the chicken looked at the pig and said, man, isn't it a wonderful thing that we do for mankind? The pig looked back at him and said, what you make is a contribution, what I make is a commitment. And that's how it is about your home group, you know. When you go into your home group, you make it a contribution. I mean, you make it a commitment. It's not one of those areas that you stop in this group, and we hear people often say, whichever group I go in is my home group. Well, let me explain to you why that doesn't work. It says that a home group is a place where you celebrate all your anniversaries and you vote on matters pertaining to NA. Okay? Now, if you don't have a home group, and you're going in every group around town, and every time they have a group conscience, and you're voting on a matter that concerns NA, if you go into seven groups, that's seven votes. If you raise up your hand in a different group each time, that's seven votes. Now, we live in an area with 3,000 people, And we know we have 3,000 people in this area, but by the time the tally comes back, we got 5,500 people. Because somebody went around and voted in every group. That's one of the reasons why that's one of the main reasons why we do have a home group. That's one of the benefits of it. You know, that's just to keep the tally straight. I mean, you can't be a member of one group and then voting on policies in another group. It says somewhere that each group is autonomous. You know, the mindset, the conscience of this group may be a little different from the conscience of the group that you come from. You may have a tendency to sit there and change it. You know, I have found that since I've been in this fellowship, I've held about every position we could hold. And I remember when I first came in, nobody started me out as a chairperson. You know, I was a coffee maker. And I didn't see why I had to be the coffee maker, because my arrogance and my ego told me that I was qualified to be a chairperson. You know, so why do I have to be a coffee maker? I know a guy in another group over here. He's only got 6 months and he's chairing, you know. But now I look back, that was the members, the type of strong members that I had in my particular group were making me responsible. You know, when you get in service in your home group, and if service and responsibility is important to you, you know, I'm not going to be late. Because, see, I don't want y'all looking at me saying, there he go, he late again. You know, if I'm the chairperson, I'm going to always have me a speaker. Because I don't want y'all not going to tell me, but I don't want y'all saying, see, that I don't know why we made him a chairperson, because he don't never get a speaker. And you know, y'all say it. All he do is come in the room, set up, and grab the first person that come in the room, and he makes him the speaker. Y'all say these things, you know. And see, my responsibility, my area of responsibility, make it so that I don't want y'all saying those things about me. You know, I don't want y'all saying, yeah, we made him a treasurer, and he's irresponsible. You know, you heard him share he couldn't balance his checkbook. Now he done ran off with the money. And 9 times out of 10, if I run off with the money and y'all talking about me, I ain't coming back to that meeting. And y'all done went and told somebody else at another meeting. Now they know, so I ain't going to that meeting. And the next thing you know, I'm using. They say, well, why is he using? He say, well, he stopped going to meetings. Why he stopped going to meetings? Because he took the money and made it so, you know, that he couldn't go to no meetings around town. And so what I'm saying is we have a responsibility even to the people that we make treasurers. You know, what I found is one of the biggest things is the unity that I've gotten out of my home group. You know, people have come together and helped me. Things that I've learned from individuals in my home group or any group that I made my home group, because I was there long enough to get to know individuals. So I was there long enough I could come in and I could share and I could tell you what was wrong with me, and I had problems, things, areas that I had problems with. And I remember in the days when I first came in, if you shared about a particular area that you had a problem in, we used to call it pulling you up. And they'd catch you out and they'd see you doing it and they would pull you up. Simply because you just shared about that. And that's where I got my help. Now, sometimes my arrogance, my ego say, I ain't going back to that group no more. And, you know, I might even tell myself, that's what you get for talking too much. You know, you shouldn't have shared that you talk too much. You know what I mean? But I have to always remember what I came here for. And what I came here for was to get some help. You know, and the simple fact that once I stopped drinking and I stopped drugging, I still had problems with my behavior. I had problems with my behavior before I picked up the drink or the drug. And now that the drink or drug is gone, I still have problems with my behavior that I have to correct. Or I will be back drinking and drugging again. I made a little note here. And I want to talk about fellowship, you know. The guy mentioned this to me. He said, you fellowship before the meeting. And after, you know, that means before the meeting starts, you get all your hugs in. You know, after the meeting, you get all your hugs in. You know what I mean? When the meeting is going on, you come in and people standing up, knocking over each other, trying to hug somebody. It makes me feel like you just knocked the cook out of my hand. If anybody in here, y'all understand what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Because there's something going on I just missed. You know, you just knocked the cookie out of my hand. I just missed something. You know? And it's also a matter of discipline. You know, this is a discipline program. You know, I find that any time I'm in a program of this sort, whether it be Narcotics Anonymous with the traditions, whether it be jail with their rules, I can do very well. You know? And knowing this, sometimes I feel as though when I allow folks to come in and disrupt it, I'm not going to do quite so well. Because when I can see it going down, down, and changing around me, I'm subject to change also. You know, because I'm a product of my environment, you know, and I would much rather do wrong than to do right. You know, it's easier for me some way or another to do wrong or do the other thing than to do right. So around me, I constantly need an environment that's doing the right thing. You know, I've read in the literature that said that we're going to make it a point to stay around people that's doing the same things that we're doing. And I find out that this fellowship is not the only group that does that. You know, I mean, there's a lot of others that's trying to do something, that's trying to find a correct way to live, try to be around correct folk. You know, and I found that this works for me. You know, we had an opportunity to, you know, every year you want to have a group celebration. You know, the home group wants to celebrate how long. And, one of the benefits is if you're a member of that particular group, you don't have any problem getting people that's going to chip in and help. But when you got people wandering from group to group to group to group, who's going to help you when it's time to put on the big bash? Now, you know, we love to come out and party. But nobody's there to call on. I mean, we don't have a home group list. We don't have a home group anything. Nobody's there to call on to say, hey, can you bring the chicken or can you bake the cake? You know, nobody's, as long as we're wandering from group to group, nobody's there to take up the responsibility because the seeds have not been sown in the group. You know, so what I'm saying here today is, you know, each and everybody, get them a home group. Participate in it and become a member of it. You know, and make it a commitment, not just a contribution, you know. I mean, if you only have $1 in your pocket, you don't have enough money to put in every meeting you go to, save that dollar for your home group. You know, that way if you're responsible and you take care of your home group, then your home group will still be here. And if other people doing the same thing, being responsible, taking care of their home group, then that group will continue to exist too. And you have enough meetings to wander from one to another. You know? Just make a commitment to it. And thanks for letting me share.
I want to thank Wilford again. That was real great. That was real great. Now I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Jim.
Hi, family. My name is Jim, and I'm an addict. Thank you. I'm not very good at speaking either, and especially in a room this size, because my home group's not very big. My home group holds about 20 of us, maybe 25. And I'm nervous too. Let me go ahead and regroup here for about 20 seconds and we'll start, or at least I'll try and start. I gotta put it in my higher power to get me through this. You know, as I was listening to him talk, he's right. And in my area up in Norvana, people do have a tendency to bounce around from meeting to meeting, and I work with a few of the committees, and it's like this month, this meeting's closing down, but this meeting's open, and next month the same thing happens. And that's people that are bouncing around, they won't make a commitment. When I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I was told, my sponsor told me directly, you will find a home group and you will support it. And I used to like to sit with what I call death row in the back. And I found out I couldn't do that because The people in that room would not let me do that. When I started making the commitment and showing up every week, people got a chance to know who I was. You know, the walls that I put up from being out in the streets were going to have to come down, and the people in that room were going to love me, and they did love me until I could start loving myself. And I'm proud to say I'm still with the same home group, and I wanted to be the chair. I didn't want to do the coffee. I didn't want to do the tables and the chairs and stuff. You know, I wanted to be the man in charge because I always thought that I was a legend in my own head anyway. So it was easy for me to want to jump right up there, and I found out very quickly in Narcotics Anonymous it's not going to work that way. And it was okay because that's what I needed. I needed time to grow. I needed to make a commitment because I was never good at commitments. I had never been good at anything in my life except getting high. And I proved that because I wouldn't have been in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, if I was doing everything right in my life. Actually, it's been a blessing. When I made the commitment to go to my home group, I found out one thing. That was very important. Come back every week. And I said, I can do that. And the first thing I started doing is I wanted to go out and check every other meeting out in the area. Now, we got 50, 60 meetings, so it's like, well, I'll have to skip my home group this week, that week. My sponsor said, no, 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 no. Every Wednesday night, you will be at that one meeting. I don't care what meetings you want to do the rest of the week, but you're going to go to this one meeting. And it was the right thing for me to do. And I didn't know. That's why I got a sponsor. That's why he wanted me to work steps. He knows what is best for me because obviously I don't. But this group and these people that are in this group, they started loving me. They started making me feel good about myself. And it took a few years, but I can honestly say I love myself today. And I'm not afraid to go out. And when I see somebody new show up at our meeting, I go out and I talk to them. I hug them. I tell them that they're welcome. These are the same things that were given to me because when I came in, people were hugging me, telling me that they loved me. And I thought they were full of shit. And they weren't. I didn't get a chance to jump right in and be the chair. But I did get a chance to go ahead and do, like I said, the tables and the chairs. And at some point down the road, they decided that they needed a treasurer. And I got a chance to be the treasurer. And it was great. And GSR came up, and I thought, oh, boy, this is it. You know, I'm flying right now. And I found out I didn't like being the GSR. But it was okay because I did it. And then last year they gave me the greatest thing. They asked. No, they didn't ask. They nominated me to be the chair of my home group. And somebody seconded. I went outside the room with the other people, came back, they congratulated me. And in June, I have to give it up, which I don't want to do, you know. And it has been a blessing. I am fortunate enough to try and find people to lead it every week. It's a Step in Traditions meeting. So as we know, you can't get somebody working the second step to do a 10-step meeting for us. That don't work. And sometimes, a lot of times, I have to go right outside my immediate contacts and I have to go through different areas, the battlefield area, the east of the river area, and I will go anywhere it takes to find the right person to pass on the message of hope and recovery. And it's been great. When I walk in and if I tell somebody in my home group, oh, I'm fine today. Number one, I just told them a message. I'm fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. They're not going to let me sit in my shit. They're going to take those walls that I put around myself, and they're going to take it down. If I do miss a meeting, I contact somebody. 2 weeks ago, I was sick. I could not, you know, there were like three different people I was trying to get hold of that I knew would be there. I couldn't get hold of anybody. Two nights later when I went back to a meeting, I ran across one of the first people and they're like, where have you been? What happened? The phone, I blew off. You know, we all have times in our life where we blow things off. And that Thursday, I blew it off. I'd seen the messages, you know, I seen the little thing beep and tell me I had messages. I didn't want to deal with them. I'd still coming down. And I was getting a little bit better. But Friday when I played everything, I got messages from people. And it touched me because at one time in my life, if I didn't have something to get high with, people didn't call me. Today they call me because they care. And I found that if I can make other people feel that way about myself, I'm hoping that I'm doing it back to them. Some days better than others. My home group, and I know it's not promoting right, but it's Came to Believe. If you're ever up there, Wednesday nights, 8:30, stop in. I have to do it. I got the best home group in the world, and I tell people all the time. Good story. It's just real quick. It's a real thing that happened. Person left the area about 2 years ago, had a few years, went down to Florida. They just happened to come back, and when he came back about a month ago, he walked in. There were still like 8 people that he had gotten clean with, and he was telling us about down there. They do a lot of that shifting around. You know, this week it's my home group, that week it's my home group, and it was really good for him to walk into the room and see the people that helped him get clean, you know, and he still calls it his home group. Even though he lives in another part of the country right now, it's great. The home groups, what's one of the best? I went blank. I'm not a very... See, if they would have asked me to talk about myself, 30 minutes or so would not have been enough time for me to get about me. But since... the ego and the pride and everything about myself is not there, you know, and they asked me to talk about something that's real. It's like, oh my God. And they asked me to speak at 11:30 too, so they gave me another, you know, a lot of time to prepare because I am guilty of grabbing somebody and saying, hey, I need you to go ahead and lead this meeting for me. I've done that. I've been very blessed. We have quite a few home group members who have a lot of years, and they continue to come back. And when the newcomer comes in, they catch the message of Narcotics Anonymous. They're not confused with the message of any other 12-step program. We're very big on our steps and our traditions. That's what the meeting's about. And we don't get people confused by telling them we're clean and sober today, because we're not clean and sober at this meeting. We are clean, and that's what we want to pass on to the newcomer. You know, there's a lot of meetings in our area that I support a lot of meetings because I have to get the recovery where I have to get it, because my meeting's not there, you know, 24/7. But that Wednesday night at 8:30, I know where my butt's going to be. And I know no matter if I'm in a good mood, bad mood, or just indifferent, when I leave, I always feel better. I always do. We don't go out and do all the big social things together, you know, like we all go out and hang out every night of the week. That's not what it's about for us. Our lives are living life, but that one-day commitment that we make with each other is what helps us. And I get to see people, you know, being here at this convention. I've seen so many people that I see people only see once a year, and it's right here, CPRCNA, and it's great. You know, I couldn't ask for any kind of better situation. And higher power's been working. Last weekend it rained down in Northern Virginia all weekend. It was cold, miserable. HP decided to go ahead and let's let everybody have a little bit of sunshine and some rays today. And it's been great. Yesterday was great. Today is great. Oh, wow. I think I'm losing track of what I'm talking about. I was hoping my time was up, because I know open mic is coming up and there's going to be a lot of good messages coming on. But I had so much little witty comments that I was going to use, and as soon as I stepped up here, they all disappeared. Everything disappeared. So I guess I was supposed to talk from my heart, not from my head, because it was my best thinking that got me here. And my group does not let me forget that. I think I'm really just going to close it off at this time, and I was just glad that y'all were here for me, and I'm going to, I guess there's another speaker? Nope. I guess it's going to be open mic, and I'm going to sit down here with some other people I have to say, because the message is recovery and home groups are the benefit that we have. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks, Jim.
Let's see here. If you have more than five, can't do that one. We got definitely got more than 5 minutes. We got looks like half an hour, about a half an hour left. Because according to my literature here, it says 75-minute meeting. It started at noon. Huh? 1:15. Yep, exactly. I got 10 of one. Okay, so, okay, here. Before we open the meeting, to those who would like to share, please remember to come up to the microphone one at a time. Also, try to keep in mind that there are other addicts who are waiting to share. If you don't want to be recorded, please inform the person taping so that you can turn off the recorder while you are sharing. Okay. Anybody want to volunteer? Come on up. Come on down.
My name is Rosa, and I'm an addict. And I'm grateful to be here by the grace of God. And I'm grateful to say today that I'm not homeless. You know, I have a home group. And when I came in here, you know, a while back, I thought I had to belong to, like, every group in my area. And what I did was I got involved with a few groups. Yeah, I did. I did join, like, three groups. And then I eventually broke it down to two. And one home group I just had to leave because I found that it was... when I went into this home group, I went in there for all the wrong reasons. I went because, you know, like the speaker had said, I had went in because it was the most popular group, and like everybody attended that group, and I had to like be a part of that, and I eventually had to just absolutely resign from that group, you know, and I came in and you know and they made me a coffee person, and the more I stayed there, you know. I became the treasurer, but see where I live, there's so many groups and not enough people to like, you know, stay and participate and carry the message after the meeting. I held this position for longer than needed, and I had to just take and just resign. That hurt a lot because, I always had this thing about staying committed, you know, but I couldn't for a number of reasons, you know, controversy, disagreements, and if I don't feel safe, then I need not to be there. I've learned in this program that, you know, if I didn't feel safe, my sponsor said to me, she said, would you take a five-year-old to that meeting? And I said, no, I wouldn't. And if I wouldn't take a five-year-old, then I need not to take myself. You know, I don't know, you know, meetings are very important to me, but I need to feel okay even in meetings, you know. And today, I need to be okay, you know. And I've stayed at one group, and I'm committed to this group, and I'm still the treasurer there. I came in and I was elected treasurer at two groups, and I had a big problem with that because, you know, I had to deposit different people's money at different places and stuff, and that was hard. So that was another reason I needed to resign from another group. But I'm grateful to say that I am not homeless today. You know, I have a home group, and a home group is real important to me, you know, because that's my connection. That I, you know, and like the gentleman said, you know, people who pull me up and who know me because I come on a regular basis there, you know, and I feel like I belong somewhere for the first time in my life, you know, and it's an honor and a privilege to be a part of a home group, you know. When I leave my home and I go to my home group, I'm just carrying on my home, you know, and I'm not homeless. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be at this convention. It took us like 8 hours to get here, and it was like really cool. You know, we went through Baltimore, and that was like, well, you know, and it's really phenomenal. And I'm grateful to be here, and thanks for letting me share.
Hey, I'm John. I'm an addict. I'm from the Tidewater area, Narcotics Anonymous. My home group is Miracle on 9th Bay. We meet on Friday night down on 9th Bay in Ocean View in Norfolk. If any of y'all know that area, it's one of the more well-populated areas of preachers of the night. And I got clean down in there. When I got clean, it was in March of 1994. I had used for 27 years. All the time I had used, the last 20 years, I was an IV, daily IV drug user. All the time I had used, I never felt a part of anything. I could be in a room full of people. I could have people fill in my house looking for my product or trying to get something from me, and I never felt like I was with anybody. I had been through countless relationships, all of them abusive, all of them manipulating, all of them trying to use one another to see what we could get. I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous on a resentment. My wife, when she left me, told me that I couldn't get clean, that the drugs meant more to me than she did, and that they meant more to me than my daughter did. And so I said, well, I'll show you, I'll stay clean, you know. And I figured I'd stay clean for about 3 months, get my life back together and get my family back and continue doing what I had done all my life. Needless to say, I don't have a family back, but I have a beautiful and loving relationship with my daughter now. My wife and I are kind of friends. When I made the commitment to change, she didn't. You know, she still missed the lifestyle. I went to this meeting down there in Ocean View, and there was all these guys there that all of them had a lot of time, and I kept hearing these slogans about stick with the winners, you know, stay up front, get right in the middle of the boat and you can't fall off, things like that. And so I started doing that because I really knew, you know, I didn't know how to live, but I knew that what I had done all my life wasn't working. This group took me right in. There was a lot of clean time in that one little home group, and I thought it had been there for years and years and years, and come to find out, it had only started about a month before, with other people that, had started different groups in that area, and they saw the need for a meeting down in this area, because there's a lot of people that live down there that don't have transportation, so the only way they can get to a meeting is if they walk to it. And Friday night meeting, you know, I think a Friday or a Saturday night meeting is one of the most basic meetings in the world, because I know what I was doing on Friday and Saturday night. And so I need to be someplace where I'm getting clean and I'm growing and I'm learning how to love myself and learning how to develop a relationship with the God of my understanding. I got involved with this home group. They also told me that service keeps you clean, that I had to give back what was so freely given to me or I was going to lose it. 4 months clean, I got elected as literature chair of the Tidewater area of Narcotics Anonymous. My head went like this, you know. I thought, I'm king, fuck. You know, but that's a real great position to hold, because it gave me a lot of gratitude. I got involved with H&I. I got involved in my home group. I opened my home group for 2.5 years before somebody finally said, well, look, I'd like to open it, you know. I've seen my home group go through a lot of changes. People moving out of the area. It's a Navy town, so some of our members were in the service and they get transferred over to the Philippines and things like that. People going through life, you know, when we get into these rooms, a lot of times it's all about change, and some of the changes carry members of this fellowship to other places, you know, and Narcotics Anonymous isn't for everybody. It's not the only way that we can change our lives. I know a lot of people that have done it through other fellowships, through religion, through psychiatry, things like that. I know for me, Narcotics Anonymous has been the stronghold, has been what has made the difference in my life. I still get to my meeting as early as I can on Friday nights. I had to give up opening it because I started doing an internship, and I don't get off work until 7 o'clock, and my meeting opens at 8, so even as the alternate person that's opening it up, I couldn't get there until 7:15, 7:20, and I'm the type of addict that, I got to be there at like 6:45 so I can have every chair just right, and that's why I hated giving up that commitment, because they don't set it up the same way I did, and they don't do it the same way. My home group, we have bonded together. We have gone through so much. Our church has given us a lot of grief. There's three other meetings that meet at this church, and somehow the elders of this church got it in their head that they could, make a profit off of recovery in this area, and so they doubled our rent of all the meetings. And because of the location of that meeting, and besides its miracle on 9th Bay, I did vote that we'd move it downtown Norfolk to 34th Street, and then it could be Miracle on 34th Street, but, that's another story. It's not Christmas time all year round. But because of where that meeting is, we decided to keep it open. As I said, a lot of members have gone on to other places in the 4 years that I've been there, but we still have the same core of people. When I came in, there's still the same five members, and that's a shame too. When I first came in the rooms, and I gotta say this, when I first came in the rooms, it was like a spoken and unspoken rule that each home group had like one person that would volunteer time for H&I. They would have one person that would volunteer time for literature. They would have one person that would volunteer time for PI. Things like this. That doesn't happen anymore. That doesn't. My area, when I came in the rooms, we carried 32 H&I commitments. We carry 12 now because of lack of support. We just had a speaker jam this week before last on service in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And the only people I saw showing up for that were the same people that I see showing up for every service commitment. And that's a damn shame. I don't know how it is in other areas, although in my recovery I've been able to travel from Virginia to South Carolina to Massachusetts to New York to Norvana. I get up there quite often. I feel welcome wherever I go, but when I first came in, they said it was like 5% of the people do the work for the rest of them. And I see that that's getting to be even a smaller number. And the whole thing is that I've held service positions since I was 3 months clean. I've held one kind of service position or another in this fellowship. And after a while, you get burned out on it, It's for one thing, when I was made literature chair, I found that by working so hard for this fellowship, I didn't work on myself. And so a year and a half later, when the shit came down in my personal life and I didn't have the steps behind me, I almost fell apart. I was ready to just check out. The steps, you've got to have that firm foundation. I've hidden in service in this fellowship for a long time. But if more people were willing to help out just a little bit, then the rest of us wouldn't have to help out so much, that's not to blow my own horn to say that I do a whole lot for my area, because what I give back to this fellowship is not even like a thousandth of what it has given me. When I think about sitting in my room, buck-ass naked with blood dripping down both my arms, not being able to get a vein, tears running down my face, just wanting to change and knowing I couldn't do it. And this fellowship brought me around to a place to where I've got things in my life. I've got love in my life. I've got people that care about me. When I don't show up for my home group, I got people that call me on my phone and say, what's up?
You know, what are you doing?
I don't know. You know, so that's, I could never give back even a portion of what this fellowship has given to me. And so I don't resent the service that I provide to this fellowship. I, you know, and I shouldn't resent the people that don't give as much as I think they should be giving, because I don't know where they are. I don't know, you know, what's going on in their lives, things like this. All I know is that if we show a tenth of the commitment we do to this program of recovery, that this life-saving force, this spiritual giant that we've used to destroy in our lives, it'd be so much better. You know, I mean, the program of Narcotics Anonymous is great and growing in leaps and bounds, but it's also, even though I see newcomers come in on an ever-increasing basis, I see them go right back out too, you know. And I think if there's more stress on commitment, especially to a home group, especially to a small group, I think that there would be a lot less of them going back out. And, you know, it's, I don't think service work is stressed enough. They used to. They, you know, now everybody's getting, when you hear them sharing a meeting, they're talking about what's going on in their life, which is good. You know, I mean, you got to talk about what's going on in your life. But we're part of a family here. This is all part of, you know, you got to talk about what's going on in this fellowship, because this is my family, you know. And when I see my family hurting, and when I see my family going through destructive changes, just like my blood family, we fell apart through active addiction. And thank God, every one of my six brothers and sisters have found recovery, you know, but along with me. And not in this fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous per se. Some of them have, some of them haven't. But all of us have made that change in our life. And I think that the God, by me giving my life over to the God of my understanding and to this program of recovery, I was helpful in helping some of them make their decisions. 3 years before I got clean, I put my brother in a treatment center. He's got 8 years clean now. You know? It's like, of course, I saw only the problem with him then. I didn't see the problem with me. In my home group, we do a year celebration every November, and it's coming up on our fourth one this November. For that, we always have some of the original members. As I said, there's still like four or five of the original members there now, but we have original members come in. One guy flies in from the Philippines. One comes up from Florida. And, you know, I think about a lot of times giving up my home group, because Friday night, there's always shit going on to where you want to do something else, but that's a very important commitment to me. And then when I think about giving it up, somebody will come into my meeting and they'll share that they love that meeting because they feel so much love in that room when they come in there. On Friday night in the Tidewater area, there's three other main meetings. The HAL group, which has like 75 members, the Agape group, which has like 75 members, and We Do Recover, which has about 50 members. My group, Miracle on Ninth Bay, averages about 25 or 30 members. But I wouldn't trade it for the world. As a matter of fact, the We Do Recover meeting I've never even been to because my home group meets on Friday night. Now, the HAL group and the Agape group I have gone to once or twice when like one of my sponsees or my sponsor celebrated, so I can't say that I haven't been to those, but the other meeting I've never been to. I hear it's a great meeting, but, you know, my home group meets on that night. I've told people that I've talked to in this fellowship, they didn't, when I said, oh yeah, your home group, you never miss that, they were like, what do you mean? You know, they don't understand. That's my family. That's my lifeblood. You know, if I let that go, I'm letting myself go. Anyways, I've talked too long. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I'm an addict named Richie.
Hey, Richie.
Anyway, I came in here not to character assassinate. And anyway, I like to thank the two people who spoke. You know, I was like dozing in and out. I had a big breakfast. Sometimes my stomach gets wheezy. And, you know, I decided to take the day off, so my body's going through changes. anyway, I'm from the greater New York region. And what we're talking about here is responsibilities of a home group. And one thing that I learned about a responsibility of a home group that it taught me is how to make good coffee. I learned that. Because when I came in, I didn't know how to make no coffee. And that was the first thing that I learned. You know, it gave me some sense of responsibility. And, you know, I surrendered September 2nd of 1989. And I've had the same home group since the day I walked in. And one of the things that attracted me to this group was that it was a step meeting. And I wanted what the people had in that group. It was also on a Thursday night. I used to work from Sunday to Thursday. And Thursday nights used to start my runs off. I used to get paid on Thursday and be broke by Friday. So when I got clean, I still had the same job. And, you know, it helped me out, especially going into my days off. And also, very early on in recovery, what happened was when I got the coffee commitment, you know, this big guy came up to me, about 300 pounds, and he gave me the keys. He gave me the keys for the meeting. And I didn't know if he knew what he was doing. I had about 30 days clean at the time. And but you know what? I felt like trusted. And I've learned a lot of I've gotten a lot of benefits from being involved in the home group. And you know what? I've also learned how to take those benefits out in the outside world and apply them in my life. You know, I show up for work. I'm able to be a responsible, productive member of society. I've also learned something about integrity. I've also learned something about group conscience. Because let me tell you, you know, what I found out, too, is being involved. Sometimes I feel, too, sometimes there comes a point, and it talks about it in our literature, where sometimes we might need to look at moving on. Because sometimes I feel being there for a while, like my ego, when it comes to group conscience, sometimes I feel, you know, maybe I can sway a vote to make it be for my own benefit. And being there a while, sometimes newcomers come in and they're confused and they see somebody and getting all those hugs and especially in the home group, it's like you know everybody. And so I try to let God in. And I just got through doing a commitment. And you know what? Service is the key. You know, I never get too good. I never want to get too good in this fellowship where I can't make coffee with 8.5 years clean time, where I can't pick up a chair, where I can't reach out, where I can't help somebody, where I can't take somebody out for coffee. And most of all, like somebody was sharing, where, you know what, when something's wrong with me, people know what's going on. Because they know me. And, you know, there's a reason why I know in the opening part of the statement that they talk to the newcomer, get a home group. Stay 20 minutes early. Stay 20 minutes late. And you will reap the rewards. And you know what, I'm just not a member. I don't just go around saying, I got a home group. Like the young lady was saying, you know, I like that. You know, if you don't have a home group, you're homeless. So get one. If you don't have a sponsor, you're sponsorless. You know, I can go around saying I got a home group. See, in New York, we celebrate anniversaries. Everybody does it differently. But I just don't go there to celebrate. You know, I'm involved. I take commitments. I'm an active member. And as a result, it's helped me out in my life outside of this fellowship. And I want to thank you guys, you know, for listening to me and for being here for me and help keeping me clean today. Thanks.
Knowing I'm an addict.
I know.
I'd like to thank everybody that shared. And could someone to come up and read just for a day?
I didn't forget about it.
My name is Kenneth and I'm an addict. Just for today, tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using, who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. That's what I say.
All right, I'm going to circle up here. We close with a moment of silence, followed by a serenity prayer.
God, grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Keep coming back. Yeah.
You know, that was so cool. Devin's down there in Time Ward. You don't have people that, when she was reading the step book, they don't recite the step book. Yeah, I thought I'd be.
Yeah, they do that. They do that in the next year. They don't do it that much in Central Maryland, but they do it.